Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss with some countercultural beauty tips.
A woman's greatest loveliness comes through a modest heart. And a modest heart that expresses itself in modest behavior, modest dress, modest reactions, modest attitudes.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, May 17th. Modesty involves more than just covering skin. Nancy began showing us that yesterday in the series, The Beauty of a Modest Heart. Today, we'll hear part two.
Are you a modest woman? And what do we mean by that? What does it mean to be a modest woman? We've been studying together 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and talking about the appearance, the attitudes, and the actions that God wants us to have as Christian women. And let me say, by the way, what I'm saying for women applies equally to young women, to girls. We have some high school girls here today, and I'm so thankful that you are, and how I wish that I had learned some of these things better when I was your age. I wouldn't, and I see some heads nodding, I wouldn't be struggling to the degree I am probably in some of these issues if I had had more understanding as a teenage young woman of what it meant to have a modest heart. And we've seen that the Apostle Paul says that if we are women who profess to know Christ, we profess to be godly, we make a profession of faith, that we're to demonstrate that, and we will demonstrate that in our outward appearance, the way that we dress. And we talked in the last session about women adorning themselves in respectable apparel. That means orderly and decent and well-arranged and appropriate. That has to do with the way that we dress, which hopefully is a reflection of a well-ordered heart. Now he's going to go on and talk in verse 9 about not just our apparel, our appearance, but also our attitudes. And he says, I want women to be adorned with modesty and self-control. With modesty and self-control. If you have the NAS Bible, it says modestly and discreetly. Or in the NIV, it says with decency and propriety. The New King James says, with propriety and moderation. And then I kind of like the King James version here because it's intriguing, the one of the words it uses. It says that women should be adorned with shamefacedness and sobriety. Now the English Standard Version that I'm using says with modesty and self-control. So let's start there. What do these words mean? These are two heart attitudes that are to characterize a woman's approach to her appearance. And a woman's attitudes when she comes to worship. Now the word modesty, first of all, it's a word you don't hear a lot of today. And it's a word that probably conjures up some negative images in the minds of a lot of people today. When we say modesty, I think many have the image of a woman who's kind of a school marm. She's dour and dowdy, and she never smiles, and she's got clothes up to her chin and down to her ankles and down to her wrists, and she's very prim and proper, very old-fashioned, maybe frumpy. Let me just say, we need to get rid of all those images, because those are misconceptions of a word that is a beautiful word. A woman's greatest loveliness comes through a modest heart, and a modest heart that expresses itself in modest behavior, modest dress, modest reactions, modest attitudes. I've been studying this word modesty, and there have been some wonderful commentaries written on it. Let me just share with you some insights that I have picked up from various resources, study guides, and commentaries about what it means to be modest. It comes from a Greek word, and we've been having a little Greek lesson this week, aidos, ahidos. A-I-D-O-S. And that's a word that means propriety, decency. It's a word that has some element of bashfulness. Bashfulness toward men, or modesty in our approach toward God, in the sense of awe and reverence. It's a woman who doesn't just throw herself into the situation. She doesn't throw herself into men. She doesn't just disrespectfully come into the presence of God. She's modest in her approach to God and to others. The word has to do with modesty mixed with humility. There's a humble attitude seen here. And at the core of this word, ahidos, A-I-D-O-S, is an idea of shame. Now, not in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. It's talking about a woman who's a godly woman who would be ashamed if anything about her attitudes or her dress were ever to cause dishonor to Christ, or were ever to cause a distraction to other believers, or worse yet, were ever to cause men to sin in their thought life or in their morals. That's the concept of shamefacedness. She knows how to blush. She knows how to be appropriately embarrassed. A woman who's modest is not comfortable when people are talking indiscreetly, when they're talking about private sexual matters in public. A modest woman isn't comfortable with that, and certainly she doesn't talk that way herself. She's discreet. She's reserved. In fact, listen to some of these dictionary definitions of the word modest or modesty. It means having a moderate estimation of one's talents, abilities, and value. You see humility there? Seeing yourself as you really are. It means a disinclination to call attention to oneself. You don't walk in a room and have to have everybody center around you. You know, some people just walk in the room and they're the life of the party. Now, there's nothing wrong with having an outgoing personality. But this is a person, a modest person, a modest woman, is not trying to get people to notice her. She's not inclined to try and call attention to herself. To be modest, according to the dictionary, means to show reserve or propriety in speech, in dress, and in behavior. It's to be free from showiness or ostentation. And when I think of those words showy or ostentatious, I can think of certain clothing styles, certain hairstyles that are extreme. They call attention to themselves. Certain kinds of jewelry that, you know, the first thing you look when you see that woman, what you notice are the earrings. You can't even see her face or her head or her body. You're just noticing those humongous earrings. Now, what size earrings are immodest? I can't tell you that. That's where you have to get before the Lord and say, is my clothing, my jewelry, my demeanor, my manner, my speech, is it modest? Does it show proper reserve? Is it free from showiness or ostentation? When I think of this dictionary definition, I think of the opposite of it. In the Proverbs 7 woman, it says she's loud and boisterous. She's not a modest woman. In fact, the opposite of modesty in a way is vanity. A woman who's proud, a woman who's showing off her wares, her treasures, her clothing, her wealth, her affluence. She's flaunting her affluence. She's not modest. This word has the concept of rejecting anything that would be displeasing to the Lord or that could cause someone else to sin. A person who's modest believes what Jesus said when he said it's better to be dead than to cause another believer to sin. And so as I get dressed in the morning and as I prepare my heart in the morning, I want to ask, am I being clothed with modesty? And does my outward appearance demonstrate modesty? Let me ask you some questions that I was just thinking about that maybe help us apply this matter and ask, am I a modest woman? Do I wear respectable clothing? Clothing that's orderly, decent, that doesn't cause distraction or temptation to others? Do I have a humble view of myself? Do I have a high view of God? Am I guilty of advertising or promoting myself? If I am guilty of advertising or promoting myself, then I'm not a modest woman. I don't have a modest heart. Am I appropriately reserved in the way I talk, in my speech? Or do I talk too much? And you know what? Most of us as women have to wrestle with that one. The answer for most of us is yes, we do talk too much. I was with two women for dinner the other night who were colleagues in Revive Our Hearts, and I hadn't been with them for a long time, and we had a lovely dinner together, but I said to someone afterwards, I said, I talk too much. I mean, we had a great time, but there was a check in my heart that I just said too much, and the person I said it to said, did you sin? I said, you know, I probably did. I don't know if those women thought I did, but the scripture says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. To talk too much is not modest, it's not moderate, it's not temperate. Or to have to be the life of the party or the center of attention, to be boisterous, that's not moderate or modest. Are you appropriately reserved in your dress, in your behavior? Are you free from showiness, from ostentation? Are you unobtrusive, or are you the opposite? Here are some of the opposite words. Too forward, arrogant, aggressive, controlling, domineering. And let me ask you, as moms in your homes, teenage girls in your homes, do you come across as controlling, as bossy, as domineering? That's not modest. Are you disinclined to call attention to yourself? The Lord's been really speaking to me about this recently. I'm so blessed to have prayer partners and friends who love me and who pray for me. And people are always asking me, how are you doing? How's it going? How can I pray for you? How is Revive Our Hearts doing? And I'm so thrilled for their interest. But you know what I found is, as a result, so much of my conversation is about me and what I'm interested in and what's happening in my life. And the Lord's been challenging me about this, that if I have a modest heart, when I go into a conversation, I'm going to think, how can I be a blessing to that person? How can I ask them questions about their interests, about what's going on in their life? And I'm starting more to evaluate conversations in this way. Did we talk about me in this whole conversation? Or did we talk about what's of interest to that other person? That's modest. Shamefacedness. Are you grieved at the thought of offending God or causing someone else to sin? That's the result of a modest heart. Do you have a hatred for sin? And are you intentional about doing everything you can to avoid causing another person to sin? In your dress, in your speech, in your demeanor? That's what flows out of a modest heart.
Nancy Lee DeMoss will be right back with the second half of today's program. She's been helping you develop a thorough biblical understanding of modesty. Today's program is part of a series called The Beauty of a Modest Heart. To read the transcript, listen to the audio, or get a copy on CD, just visit reviveourhearts.com. Nancy's back with the next mark of a modest heart, self-control.
We're studying this week one of the most countercultural passages in all of God's Word for us as women. Let me ask you to turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We've talked about how this is a passage that is in the context of teaching first men in verse 8 how they're supposed to behave at church and how they're supposed to provide spiritual leadership for the body of Christ, and then how women, verses 9 and 10, are to behave themselves in the family of God. And Paul says women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel. That has to do with our attire, our appearance. It should be respectable, decent, well-ordered, well-arranged. And then he says it should be with a heart attitude of modesty and self-control. Not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. So just in those two little verses, the apostle is talking to us and the Holy Spirit through Paul about our appearance, our attitudes, and our actions. Look at this word self-control we're looking at today. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. As he controls us, he will produce this heart attitude in us. It's a word that means moderation. Some of the translations say sobriety. It's a Greek word, and we've been having a little Greek lesson this week. Sophrosune. Sophrosune. And it means soundness of mind. It means mental sanity. Self-control. It's a picture of someone who's not extravagant, not outlandish, not extreme, but who willfully chooses to restrain their sinful desires. by the power of the Holy Spirit. They choose not to exhibit their pride through ostentatious clothing or extreme styles. It's a woman who's willing to limit her own liberty and to demonstrate a restrained, self-controlled life with proper restraints on all her passions and her desires. It speaks of a woman who exercises self-control over her sexual passions. And to exercise control over her demeanor and her dress and her attitudes and her way of dealing with men so that she doesn't excite inappropriately the passions of other men. Now, it's one thing for you to excite the passions of your husband. That's appropriate. But to do it with other men, and we women do it in so many subtle ways. Flirtation, for example. Flirting is a violation of this principle, this hard attitude of self-control. A flirtatious girl says, "What do I have to do to get your attention?" And we see women today being so aggressive, throwing themselves on guys. And some of you who have sons at home know what it's like to have these girls calling. And I've had mothers say to me, we've had to, as parents, say, this is not allowed in our home. And I've just talked recently with a mom who said, we had to tell those girls who were calling, this is not the way our sons do this. If he wants to talk to you, he will call you. Now that sounds so fuddy-duddy today. In fact, to most younger women today, that sounds like you're from another planet. I mean, it's not even on the radar screen of young women to think this way today. That's why we need to model it. What does it mean to be self-controlled? What does it mean to be careful how we compliment men so as not to inappropriately express admiration for them? I deal with this in ministry. I work with a lot of married men, and God has blessed me with some wonderful godly men around me in Revive Our Hearts and in our partner ministries, and I so appreciate their hearts and their labors, and I want to express a grateful spirit, but I always want to do it in a way that is appropriate, that is restrained. And that has to do with our speech, with our physical contact, with what we do with our bodies. It has to do with the way we use our eyes. And I find even when I'll be out walking and I'll pass other joggers or walkers, modesty and self-control teaches me not to look those men in the eyes. It teaches me to avert my glance. Now, you don't have to be rude to do this, but it means you're not going to engage your soul, your spirit, with a man who's not your husband. That takes self-control. Today's women don't know what self-control is. They're just out there. Just talking and doing and acting in ways that are not controlled at all. And it's a result of not having a sound mind, not having a disciplined or controlled mind, not having common sense, not having a spiritual radar, as one writer said, that tells a person what is good and proper. And isn't that what so many women are missing today? No spiritual radar. I see the way that some women get in trouble with men, and I'm talking about women in the church, and I'm saying, where was your spiritual sense? How did you get in that situation? Now, I know flesh is flesh, and the temptation is always there, but I'll tell you what, if you've got self-control, you'll find there are a whole lot of situations you never end up in because you've made wise, restrained choices on the front end with your tongue, with your eyes, with your spirit, with your physical touch. So let's ask ourselves some questions here and just let God evaluate our hearts. Am I a self-controlled woman? Are you a self-controlled woman? Do you have sound thinking? Are you moderate and temperate in your eating habits, your drinking habits, your exercise habits? Oh no, now you started meddling. Well, I'm just meddling where the Holy Spirit meddles with me. And as I think about this quality, if I'm going to eat excessively, obsessively, in an out-of-control way, that's an evidence that I don't have this quality of self-control in my heart. Is your tongue temperate? Is your tongue controlled and restrained by the Spirit of God? Or are you one of these people who just blurts out whatever comes to your mind? You just say it. Oh, do we get in trouble that way as women? And in your home is where this is so important, because you're saying things likely in your home that you would never blurt out at church. Out of anger or frustration, as a mom, as a wife, as a teenage gal, you need self-control when you're dealing with your family members. In your use of time, are you self-controlled? Are you prone to emotional outbursts, to anger, to temper? Do you have command and discipline over your body and your physical appetites with food, sexually, morally, alcohol, drugs? Are there any habits that enslave you? Habits that are not godly habits. Are you willing and able to restrain yourself from unnecessary extremes? In the way you spend money, in the kinds of clothes you buy, in your work habits and doing chores around your home, are you disciplined to do the job when it needs to be done? Are you, like I am so many times, a perpetual procrastinator? And then you find yourself up against the deadline and throwing everybody's life into a tizzy because you didn't have self-control of your schedule. Are you restrained and appropriate in relationships with men, in your demeanor with men? You say, this sounds like you can't have any fun. You're just going to be rigid, disciplined. Who likes that word? Let me tell you, the greatest freedom in life comes when we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's when you can really enjoy life. That's when you can enjoy healthy and wholesome relationships in the body of Christ. It's the women who have no self-control, who are not modest and discreet, who are the ones who end up with their lives in a million pieces, sitting in a therapist's office, calling us saying, Humpty Dumpty has fallen off the wall. Is there anything you can do to put him back together again? A heart of self-control is what will bring freedom and joy and peace in your life, and then will also help you to adorn the gospel and to make it believable.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been describing the beauty of self-control. That's just one of the characteristics that get at the heart of modesty. Today's program is part of a series called The Beauty of a Modest Heart. To hear the entire series or order it on CD, just visit reviveourhearts.com. It's the kind of teaching that our listeners appreciate. Nancy's here with an example.
Recently, we received an encouraging note from a male listener in Canada. He said, I know your ministry is geared toward women, but I am very encouraged by Revive Our Hearts. Sometimes things have looked very bleak, and your encouragement was there. I can't afford to support you, but you are in my prayers. Well, I can't tell you how much those prayers of our listeners mean to me. We are absolutely powerless to do anything without the Lord's help, and we so need our listeners to bring me and this ministry before the Lord. Now, perhaps the Lord has you in a place where you can give to the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. By making a contribution, you're helping us continue to encourage listeners like this man who are unable to support us. At some difficult seasons of his life, he has appreciated us being there for him. And we're able to be there thanks to listeners like you who support this ministry. If you've never before sent a gift to Revive Our Hearts, would you begin this month? Some friends of the ministry are doubling the gift of every new supporter during the month of May up to a challenge amount of $60,000. It's our prayer that we'll not only meet that challenge, but far surpass it. So whether or not you've connected with us before, when you support us this week, we want to say thanks by sending you the booklet, The Look. It will help you evaluate your wardrobe and, more importantly, your heart. It'll help you learn to glorify God through both modest attitudes and modest clothing. Your gift at this time will help us with the overall need of $350,000 in the month of May. You can make a contribution online by visiting us at reviveourhearts.com. Or you can give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. And be sure to ask for The Look when you make a gift of any size.
What do you look for when shopping for clothing? Price? Color? Tomorrow, Nancy will help us think that through, continuing the series, The Beauty of a Modest Heart. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.